Chapter 24. My hands slipped from the tub to the cooling water as my heart thundered. "Really?" I whispered.
"Yes."
I sucked in several breaths. "You can tell what I'm feeling."
"Right now, it's just disbelief."
"That?" I was glad I was sitting down. "That seems like a really intrusive ability."
"It is,"
he agreed, placing the pitcher aside. He didn't move. Neither did I.
"That's why I rarely intentionally use it. But sometimes a mortal or even a god feels something so strongly, I cannot prevent myself from feeling what they do. That is what happened when I looked at you. Your emotions reached me before I could block them. I knew that as willing as you appeared, you were not."
"What did you do, Sarah?" My mother's panicked cry echoed. I closed my eyes as harsh realization swept through me. Sir Holland was wrong. My mother had been right. That insidious voice inside me had been right. It had been my fault. Pressure constricted my chest and throat as I shook my head. No, that wasn't true either. It wasn't only my fault. I opened my eyes.
"I was scared. I was to marry the primal of death," I said, my voice hoarse. "I was anxious. Of course I felt hopeless. I felt like I had no control, but I was there. I was still there."
None of that was a lie. I knew what was expected of me, and I was willing to fulfill it.
"You were not."
He was quiet, but I felt his gaze on me, on my back.
"No, I wasn't. I had no need of a consort forced to marry me. And whether or not you were willing to carry through doesn't change the fact that it wasn't your choice. It never was."
"It is my choice to honor the deal," I argued.
"Truly?"
he challenged.
"Your family would have allowed you to refuse to take part in the deal? To refuse a primal?
Are you saying that you were in a position to refuse?
One where the expectation hadn't been drilled into you since birth? There was never any consent in your choice."
Gods, he was right. I knew that. I had always known that. I hadn't expected him, of all people, to acknowledge or care about that, though, especially since it had been the deal he'd made. But that didn't change anything.
Not what the deal did for the kingdom, not what my birth signaled, or what I must do.
I opened my mouth and then closed it as a different type of emotion reared its head. Respect. For him. For the being I needed to kill to save my kingdom, and for the primal who had unintentionally become the source of my misery. How could I not respect him for being unwilling to take part in something I truly had no real choice in? Confusion also followed, because had he not considered any of this when he first set the terms? He could have set any price. He'd chosen this. Another thought occurred to me, and my head jerked up so fast it tugged on the skin of my upper back. "Are you reading my emotions now?"
"No,"
he answered,
"and that is the truth. I know to keep my walls up around you."
I wasn't sure if he was suggesting that I was highly emotional. Regardless, I was grateful he had his...
"What do you mean by walls?" "It's like the rise around Hades and the lands, but in here."
He tapped a finger to the side of my head.
"You build them mentally. They are shields of sorts."
"That sounds difficult."
"It took a very long time to learn how to do it."
"There's something I don't understand," I said after a moment. "Why did you even ask for a consort? When you made the deal, you could have asked for anything."
"The answer you seek is a very complicated one."
"Are you suggesting that I'm not clever enough to understand?
I'm suggesting it's a conversation that should take place when you're fully clothed.
And you don't run the risk of me attempting to drown you, I snapped. Ash chuckled as he wrung the excess water from my hair.
That too.
Using one of the pins I'd removed, he twisted the length of my hair, pinning it so the ends didn't fall back into the tub.
I hope my services this evening lived up to whatever expectations you may have had.
Immediately, my mind flashed to a different sort of service, and I wanted to punch myself hard. They were passable. My response got another laugh from him.
If you're done, he said, rising,
I can put the balm on your wounds. I was still dumbfounded by his ability to read emotions, still irritated by his refusal to answer why he had asked for a consort. But I gripped the edges of the tub. Water splashed as I rose and turned to where he stood. His chest was so still, I wasn't sure he breathed, but the white, luminous wisps in his molten silver eyes churned wildly. The intensity of his stare scalded. Attraction. Desire. He was definitely attracted to me. He wanted me. I reminded myself that was something I could definitely work with. I'm wet.
Fuck,
he rasped, his gaze tracking the droplets of water as they coursed over my breasts, the curve of my stomach, and headed lower still, between my thighs. My skin tingled everywhere his gaze followed. Can you help me with that? The tips of his fangs became visible as his lips parted.
Trouble, he murmured thickly. You are trouble, Lisa.
Something beautiful and powerful. I couldn't help but feel that way as I stood there. A towel, I said, chasing away some lingering drops of water just below my navel with my hand. I was hoping you could hand me that towel. One side of his lips tipped up as his stare followed my hand.
Yeah.
He reached out without taking his eyes off me and grabbed a towel from the shelf.
I can help you.
Heart thrumming once more, I stepped out of the tub. I tipped my head back as he approached. Ash said nothing as I reached for the towel.
No,
he said, his chin lowering.
You asked for my help.
Wordless, I remained standing as he drew the towel along my left arm and then my right, fully aware that he was staring down at me. Heaviness filled my breasts as he dragged the towel over my stomach, where my hand had been, and then over my hip. My skin felt as it had when I'd sunk into the steaming tub, except this heat invaded my blood and pooled.
I'm not sure you will appreciate what I'm about to say. I wouldn't blame you if you didn't,
he said.
At least now I know what you feel when I touch you.
He smoothed the towel up my stomach and between my breasts. The hair on his arm grazed the insides of my breasts, causing me to gasp.
That sound you make? It's not forced.
It wasn't. The tips of his fangs dragged over his lower lip, and he moved the towel over the aching peaks. I jerked at the sharp swirl of pleasure I felt.
You don't let me do this because it's your duty, what is expected of you.
He moved around me, swiping the towel over my back, careful to avoid the welts.
You allow me to touch you because you enjoy it.
And that was true. It shouldn't be. I shouldn't enjoy any of this. I should remain removed from this part of my duty, calculating. But there was no denying the tight tremor of anticipation coiling its way through me. There was no denying that I desperately wanted to feel, like I had at the lake when I was just Sarah, and he was simply ash, just like he'd said earlier. Are you reading my emotions?
I don't need to.
The soft towel rasped over my lower back.
I can tell by the flush on your skin and how it hardens in the most interesting places. The hitch of your breath and the way your pulse quickens.
My pulse? I whispered, legs strangely weak.
Yes.
His cool breath danced over my bare shoulder.
I can feel that. It's something that even a god can feel. It is a predatory trait.
I shivered in response to his words, and where the towel now roamed followed the curve of my backside. My skin practically vibrated as that curl of anticipation coiled tighter, this time below my navel, and then again, even lower.
You want my touch.
He guided the towel down my legs and then back up between them. His breath now touched my lower back. My eyes closed, but my mind provided the image of what I could not see. The primal of death, kneeling behind me.
And that want?
His towel-covered hand slipped between my thighs, gliding over the throbbing flesh between them. Another ragged sound left me as his hand moved back and forth, gently rubbing.
It has nothing to do with any deal.
It really didn't. And what does that... gasped as the cool skin of his arm brushed my heated, not even remotely dry, flesh. What does that change? You said you still have no need of a consort.
I don't.
He moved that damnable towel away from me, sliding it over my side and then between the crease of skin at the hip. He rose as the towel slipped between my thighs once more. I shuddered at the feel of the cold skin of his forearm pressing against my lower stomach. He moved the towel in soft, short circles.
But that doesn't mean I am not interested in certain aspects of this union.
The cool tips of his fingers grazed my arm as he stepped closer to me, near enough that I felt his breeches-clad thighs against the backs of mine.
Just like that doesn't mean you're not interested in those very same aspects.
The utter arrogance in his confident assumption irked me and emboldened me. There is very little about those aspects I find all that interesting.
You don't?
The towel-covered hand continued moving slowly, tauntingly. No. My hips jerked and then started to move, following his lead. His lead. Gods, it should concern me how quickly I'd lost control of this seduction. It would, but later.
I think you lie again,
he murmured, a hint of a smile in his tone.
You're as interested as you were when you begged me to kiss you at the lake.
Your memory is faulty. I gave you permission to kiss me. His fingers grazed the side of my breast as he moved his hand up and down my arm while moving the towel between my legs.
Or demanded that I kiss you.
Either way, that is not begging.
Semantics.
He murmured. It's not. I widened my stance, giving him better access.
Really?
Really. My eyes drifted open, and I looked down, past the puckered peaks of my breasts, to where he had the towel, snagged around the wrist of his hand.
Lying so prettily, yet again.
I'm not lying. You're just overconfident. I gasped as he dropped the towel and the cool length of his fingers replaced the soft material, pressing against my bundle of nerves. "Gods," I breathed, immediately swamped by a riot of sensations as the tension curled so tightly I felt breathless.
"No,"
he murmured, his thumb swirling against that sensitive nub. "You are not interested at all in those certain aspects." He sank a finger inside, parting the flesh. I cried out, grasping his arm. I hadn't forgotten the shocking contradiction of his coldness against my heat, but no memory did it justice. I shook.
"I remember how you showed me the way you liked it. I play that over and over in my head. I could write a fucking tome on it by now."
His thumb continued moving.
"When I'm fisting my cock, I remember how you held my hand against you at the lake."
"Oh, gods," I gasped. Do you really?"
"More times than I should admit."
His finger pumped in and out of me, bringing me closer and closer to the edge. Suddenly, all that curling tension unfurled as fast and unexpectedly as a streak of lightning. It came on hard and fast and shockingly. If he hadn't folded his other arm around my waist, there was a good chance the pounding waves of release would have taken my legs out from under me. Ash's fingers slowed, and only when my hips stopped twitching did he ease his hand from me. Several long moments passed as he simply held me there, our bodies only touching from the waist down. Neither of us spoke, and I had no idea what he was thinking. But as my body cooled, I realized that my attempt to seduce him had failed spectacularly. I had been the one seduced. I sat on the bed, facing the closed balcony doors as the top of the robe I held closed pooled at my elbows. Ash walked forward, unscrewing the lid on the jar he'd brought with him.
"This will probably feel cold against your skin at first," he said, sitting behind me. "And then it will have a numbing effect."
I nodded, feeling off kilter from what had transpired in the bathing chamber. He'd walked away before I even had a chance to regain control of the situation. The sign of his arousal, a thick, hard ridge pressing against his breeches as he unhooked the robe and handed it to me. His restraint when it came to his pleasure was quite impressive. The touch of his fingers brushing some of the curls that had fallen free from their twist aside steered my mind to the present. A spicy and astringent scent reached me. "What is this ointment made of?"
"Yarrow, arnica, and a few things native to Elysium," he told me.
I sucked in a sharp breath as the salve touched one of the wounds.
"Sorry."
"It's okay." I lowered my chin. "It doesn't hurt, it's just cold." His hand moved, spreading the balm over my skin. He didn't have to do this. He hadn't needed to wash my hair. Both acts were kind, but didn't match what he'd done to those gods on the rise, which hadn't stopped me from enjoying his touch. Gods, I should feel ashamed, but I didn't. Maybe because my conscious mind recognized that I was destined to do far worse things. For some reason, as I sat there rather obediently, I remembered what I'd wanted to ask while in the bathing chamber. "How old are you, really?"
"I thought we already established that my actual age doesn't matter,"
he said, parroting my words back. "It didn't when I didn't know who you were."
I'm still the same person who sat beside you at the lake. His balm-covered fingers slid up my shoulders. You know that, right?
Was he? How would I know that?
You should,
he answered, as the coolness of the ointment started to fade, replaced by the numbness he'd promised. We may not be complete strangers, but do we really know each other? I reasoned. You talked as if killing should always affect a person, leave a mark that never fades. But you have... I pressed my lips together. I don't know you at all.
You know more than most.
I doubt that.
I've never spoken about the first person I killed. Not with anyone but you,
he said, his hand leaving my back. I heard the lid turning on the jar.
No one knows it was someone close to me.
He took hold of the collar of the robe, lifting it to cover my back and shoulders.
Nothing I told you at the lake was a lie.
If everything you said was true, then why do you have gods impaled on your wall? I demanded, tightening the sash around my waist as I twisted to face him. There was absolutely no pain from the movement. How can killing leave a mark when you do things like that?
You think...
A white aura behind his pupil bled into the silver. It was a beautiful effect, and a slightly terrifying one.
You think I did that to them?
When I asked you why, you said they served as a reminder that life is fragile, even for a god. Disbelief flickered across his features.
How did those words incriminate me?
His expression smoothed out quickly.
Yes, they serve as a warning, but not one I issued.
I stared at him, stunned. Could he be telling the truth? I wasn't sure what he'd gain from lying about it. If it wasn't you, then who did it? The swirling in his eyes abated as he reached out and picked up one of the curls that had fallen over my shoulder.
I am not the only primal god, Lisa.
Who did that then? Who would be willing to anger the primal of death?
You have no problem attempting to anger or argue with me.
I'm not arguing with you now. One eyebrow rose.
I feel as if every conversation we have verges on an argument when it comes to you.
It was you who started arguing with me. I watched him, lashes lowered. He appeared absurdly focused on separating the mass of curls. One side of his lips curved up as he drew one of the curls straight.
You're arguing with me now.
I threw up my arms. That's because you're saying... Never mind. Ash released the strand of hair, his faint grin fading as his gaze met mine.
What do you know about the politics of Elysium?
His question threw me. Not much, I admitted. I know that primals rule the courts and that gods answer to them.
Each court is a territory within Elysium, with more than enough land for each primal and their gods to carry out their time as they see fit. And each primal has more than enough power to do whatever they would like.
He rose from the bed and went to the table. There was a decanter there that hadn't been there before, along with two glasses.
But no matter how powerful any one being is, there are always some who want more power, where what they have is not enough.
A chill swept down my spine as he pulled the stopper from the decanter. He poured the amber liquid into two short glasses.
And for them, they like to push other primals, see how far they can go, how much they can push before the other lashes out. In a way, it can be a source of entertainment for them.
He carried the glasses over.
Whiskey?
I took the glass he handed me. Are you saying that another primal did that because they were bored?
No, that was not done out of boredom.
He turned from me, taking a long drink.
That was done to see how far they could push me. quite a few primals enjoy pushing me.
The smoky flavor of the whiskey went down surprisingly smooth. I know I'm about to sound repetitive, but I cannot understand why anyone would do that. You're the primal.
Of death. I'm powerful. One of the most powerful. I can kill quicker than most. I can deliver lasting punishment that goes beyond death. I'm feared by mortals, gods, and the primals, even those who push.
Ash faced me as he took another drink.
And the reason some push has to do with that question you seem rather obsessed with. Well, one of two questions you have asked multiple times. The one with the very complicated answer best not answered while one is bathing.
It took me a moment. Why didn't you fulfill the deal?
He nodded. It's because I did not make the deal.
Shock seized me as I slowly lowered the glass to the bed beside me. What?
It wasn't me. I was not the primal of death then.
A tightness settled into his features.
My father was. He made the deal with Roderick Mirel. He was the one who demanded the first female of the bloodline as a consort.